Exciting coming to you today, first third Wednesdays of Afrobeat Radio, and we'll be back September 19th for the second third Wednesdays. We'll still be rocking our theme, which is critical joy, happiness and joy. That's the theme that we've been working with, and we'll be rocking that as well. So we want you to be part of this experience. We want you to come and dance. We want you to participate in the pop-up markets. We want you to participate in the show itself. And so if you wish to participate, you can reach us at info@afrobeatradio.com, info@afrobeatradio.com. Please send us an email, or just go to afrobeatradio.com and go to connect on the menu and send us an email from there, and join the newsletter, subscribe to our newsletter as well. My name is Wee Jacobs. I'd like to thank a whole bunch of people, actually, that I can't possibly thank tonight for pulling this off, starting with Max Smith, who is our life engineer, Grayson Challenger, who helped put everything together as a technical director, and Dennis Kabato, Akinator Hamagaji, and myself for production, and a whole bunch of other people that not only participated into this show, but are actually people behind the show, Carol Murray, Bojode, and a whole bunch of others. Thank you very much for making this happen. See you September 19th when we continue the third Wednesdays. And we'll be back next week at 10 p.m. as usual on Afrobeat Radio. And yeah, have a good evening.
On Sunday, August 19th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents multidimensional bassist and composer Jamaluddin Tukuma. Join us as we discuss parts of Jamaluddin Tukuma's career and discuss what's happening in the red carpet room. That's Sunday, August 19th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
This Thursday, August 16th at 10 p.m., join your host, Baby K, and Kyle McNeil on The Sweet Spot. We'll be paying homage to the Queen of Soul, Miss Aretha Franklin. We invite you to celebrate with us and send love to Riri as we listen to her music and share stories of one of the most iconic musicians in modern history. That's this Thursday, August 16th at 10 p.m. on The Sweet Spot, only on listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, streaming online at WBAI.org.
You're tuned to WBAI in New York, 99.5. 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is Help Action. Starting with Health Action News. U.S. chemists discover how blue light speeds blindness. And the FDA knew doctors were misusing powerful opioids. This first story, UT chemists discover how blue light speeds blindness. And this is the University of Toledo. From an article by Christine Billiot, August 8th. Blue light from digital devices and the sun transforms vital molecules in the eye's retina into cell killers, according to optical chemistry research at the University of Toledo. The process outlined in the study, which was recently published in the journal Scientific Reports, leads to age-related macular degeneration, a leading cause of blindness in the United States. Dr. Ajith Karanathan examined toxic oxygen generation by retinal during blue light exposure. We are being exposed to blue light continuously, and the eye's cornea and lens cannot block or reflect it, Dr. Ajith, assistant professor in the UT Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, said. It's no secret that blue light harms our vision by damaging the eye's retina. Our experiments explain how this happens, and we hope this leads to therapies that slow macular degeneration, such as a new kind of eye drop. Commentary from myself. Perhaps one should consider exposing themselves less to blue light, or perhaps there needs to be some accommodation within the technology for this problem. Back to the story. Macular degeneration, an incurable eye disease that results in significant vision loss starting on average in a person's 50s or 60s, is the death of photoreceptor cells in the retina. Those cells need molecules called retinol to sense light and trigger a cascade of signaling to the brain. You need a continuous supply of retinol molecules if you want to see. Photoreceptors are useless without retinol, which is produced in the eye. Karanathan's lab found that blue light exposure causes retinol to trigger reactions that generate poisonous chemical molecules in the photoreceptor cells. It's toxic. If you shine blue light on retinol, the retinol kills photoreceptor cells as the signaling molecule on the membrane dissolves. Kasun Ratnayake, a PhD student researcher working in the cellular photochemistry group, said, photoreceptor cells do not regenerate in the eye when they're dead. They're dead for good. Karanathan introduced retinal molecules to other cell types in the body, such as cancer cells, heart cells, and neurons. When exposed to blue light, these cell types died as a result of the combination with retinol. Blue light alone, or retinol without blue light, had no effect on cells. Commentary by myself. I gather that this research on using retinol in combination with blue light as a potential way to kill cancer cells may very well be the objective of this research. However, it's really important to understand the impact of blue light is on our own vision. Back to the story. No activity is sparked with green, yellow, or red light. The retinol-generated toxicity by blue light is universal. It can kill any cell type. The researcher found that a molecule called alpha-tocopherol, a vitamin E derivative, and a natural antioxidant in the eye and body stops the cells from dying. However, as a person ages or the immune system is suppressed, people lose the ability to fight against the attack by retinal and blue light. This is when the real damage occurs. The lab currently is measuring light coming from television, cell phone, and tablet screens to get a better understanding of how the cells in the eyes respond to everyday blue light exposure. If you look at the amount of light coming out of your cell phone, it is not great, but it seems tolerable. Dr. John Payton, visiting assistant professor in the UT Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry, said, "Some cell phone companies are adding blue light filters to the screens, and I think that is a good idea." Commentary: perhaps we should start wearing some kind of sunglasses or blue light filters for those of us who are addicted to the screens. Back to the story. To protect your eyes from blue light, Kara Narathine advises to wear sunglasses, there we go, that can filter both UV and blue light outside and avoid looking at cell phones or tablets in the dark. Good advice. Every year, more than 2 million new cases of age-related macular degeneration are reported in the United States. Karun Narathan said, "By learning more about the mechanisms of blindness in search of a method to intercept toxic reactions caused by the combination of retinol and blue light, we hope to find a way to protect the vision of children growing up in a high-tech world." Interesting conclusion. A little bit later in the program, we're going to take a look at vitamin E, alpha tocopherol, and see how antioxidants play a role in the maintenance of our immune systems and our health.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna
That was Johnny Nash. I can see clearly now, the rain has gone. Our opening theme, Prajapati by Incendio. Now back to the news. A Johns Hopkins team used the FDA's own documents to show that the agency knew there was a problem but did not act. So this is yet another story and the unfortunate saga of the opioid crisis. And from my perspective, this is a crisis that is in fact generated and perpetuated by the industry that creates these powerful drugs and the medical profession that prescribes these powerful drugs and the legal system that allows such things to occur in certain kinds of communities. And this little bit comes from an article written by Maggie Fox, and she is with NBCN News. And it says here, the FDA knew doctors were misusing powerful opioids. The Food and Drug Administration knew that some doctors were wrongly prescribing powerful opioid painkillers, but did nothing to investigate or even stop them, researchers said Friday. The drugs include mouth sprays and lozenges meant to provide immediate relief for breakthrough cancer pain, a sudden spike in pain in patients who have been taking opioids for long periods of time and who have developed a tolerance for them. The drugs are very potent, often as much as 100 times stronger than morphine. The formulations, referred to as transmucosal immediate-release fentanyl products or TIRF, TIRF products, can kill patients who take them without having first developed tolerance. But they were prescribed to patients who had no tolerance and for migraines or dental pain. The team at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health said, many providers who were supposedly trained in the proper use of the drugs gave incorrect answers on surveys about their use. There are some doctors who are clearly prescribing it wrong, Dr. Joshua Sharfstein, a former FDA deputy commissioner who was part of the study team at Johns Hopkins, told the news, and FDA did nothing to stop them. The U.S. is suffering an epidemic of opioid abuse. Opioids, including prescriptions, opioids, and heroin, killed 42,000 people in 2016, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. At the same time, the CDC reported last year the number of prescriptions for the painkillers tripled from 1999 to 2015. The FDA, CDC, and other medical groups agree that the crisis has been driven in no small part by overprescribing. One subset of these drugs are so powerful and so dangerous that the FDA set up a special plan to control their use called a risk evaluation and mitigation strategy. It is designed to mitigate the risk of misuse, abuse, addiction, overdose, and serious complications due to medication errors, the FDA said in a statement. The products include Actic, a kind of lozenge or lollipop that delivers fentanyl under the tongue for quick absorption, and Subsys, an under-the-tongue spray. The FDA asked one of its expert panels to meet Friday in Silver Spring, Maryland, to help review how the strategy for the TIRF opioids has been working. It has not worked as designed, the Johns Hopkins team said in testimony given to the panel. The strategy has generated red flags for years, the team said in written testimony. There have been multiple warnings that many providers have been engaged in inappropriate prescribing, placing patients at risk. The team used Freedom of Information requests to gather the FDA's own documents and show that the agency did little or nothing to investigate the misuse of the opioids. FDA had evidence as early as April 2016 that TIRFs were being prescribed for many patients who were not opioid tolerant, they wrote in their testimony. This evidence includes an analysis of commercial health plan claims provided to the agency on April 25, 2016, indicated that of more than 25,000 patients receiving TIRFs, as many as 51% were not opioid tolerant, with follow-up analysis showing that only 44.6% to 65.4% appear to be opioid tolerant. FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb said he was taking the questions seriously. Important feedback today, there are gaps in data on use of these products and adverse events, he said in a series of comments on Twitter. Usually, the FDA stays out of medical practice for most drugs once they are approved. A physician may prescribe them for any purpose. But when a risk evaluation strategy is in place, the FDA has more control, Sharfstein said. So all of this says to me that this is a criminal problem. It isn't just a question of the FDA keeping tabs on doctors. Clearly, there is a criminal problem in the misuse of opioids in this industry in which people's suffering is being exploited for financial gain, in my opinion. As promised, a little information on the health benefits of vitamin E or tocopherol. This vitamin, vitamin E, is lipid soluble, which means that it helps in cell membrane stability. The antioxidant content in vitamin E protect our cells from the negative effects of free radicals. Free radicals are the byproduct of our body's metabolic process. Vitamin E plays a vital role in improving our immune system. It helps in DNA repair and also in improving the body's metabolic processes. The intake of vitamin E helps to stop the development of nitrosamines in our body. Nitrosamines are carcinogens that are formed in the stomach from nitrates in our diet. Vitamin E also helps protect some of the sensitive tissues of our body like the skin, liver, eyes, breasts, and testes. Researchers have shown that vitamin E helps prevent or delay the onset of heart diseases. Vitamin E has the vital component of antioxidants, which limit the oxidation, LDL cholesterol, and thus help to prevent heart disease. Cataracts. This is a condition that results of an abnormal growth in the eye's lens. This results in cloudy vision and a high risk of vision disability in aged people. Vitamin E aids in reducing or delaying the growth of cataracts. The five top vitamin E-rich foods are spinach, avocado, almonds, broccoli, and sunflower seeds. So coming up next, I'm going to share a bit of a meditation with you. It's simply a sitting relaxation with ocean surf. It's about 15 minutes long, and it's a little something that you can use to settle down, relax any time of the day or evening, such as it is, or morning. But to share with you just a little bit about meditation, I thought I would go to the most extreme source I could think of, the Mayo Clinic. And you can find this article at the Mayo Clinic website. And it's Meditation, a Simple, Fast Way to Reduce Stress. Meditation can wipe away the day's stress, bringing with it inner peace. See how you can easily learn to practice meditation whenever you need it most. And this is by the Mayo Clinic staff. If stress has you anxious, tense, and worried, consider trying meditation. Spending even a few minutes in meditation can restore your calm and inner peace. Anyone can practice meditation. It's simple and inexpensive, and it doesn't require any special equipment. And if you can practice meditation wherever you are, whether you're out for a walk, riding the bus, waiting for the doctor's office, or even in the middle of a difficult business meeting. Understanding meditation. Meditation has been practiced for thousands of years. Meditation originally was meant to help deepen understanding of the sacred and mystical forces of life. These days, meditation is commonly used for relaxation and stress reduction. Meditation is considered a type of mind-body complementary medicine. Meditation can produce a deep state of relaxation and a tranquil mind. During meditation, you focus your attention and eliminate the stream of jumbled thoughts that may be crowding your mind and causing stress. This process may result in enhanced physical and emotional well-being. Benefits of meditation. Meditation can give you a sense of calm, peace, and balance that can benefit both your emotional well-being and your overall health. And these benefits don't end when your meditation session ends. Meditation can help carry you more calmly through your day and may help you manage symptoms of certain medical conditions. Meditation and emotional well-being. When you meditate, you may clear away the information overload that builds up every day and contributes to your stress. The emotional benefits of meditation can include gaining a new perspective on stressful situations, building skills to manage your stress, increasing self-awareness, focusing on the present, reducing negative emotions, increasing imagination and creativity, increasing patience and tolerance. Meditation and illness. Meditation might also be useful if you have a medical condition, especially one that may be worsened by stress. While a growing body of scientific research supports the health benefits of meditation, some researchers believe it's not yet possible to draw conclusions about the possible benefits of meditation. With that in mind, some research suggests that meditation may help people manage symptoms of conditions such as anxiety, asthma, cancer, chronic pain, depression, heart disease, high blood pressure, irritable bowel syndrome, sleep problems, and tension headaches. And we are reading from the website of the Mayo Clinic, and it goes on to talk about, be sure to talk to your healthcare provider about the pros and cons of using meditation if you have any of these conditions or other health problems. In some cases, meditation can worsen symptoms associated with certain mental and physical health conditions. Meditation isn't a replacement for traditional medical treatment, but it may be a useful addition to your other treatment. And this is on the advice of the Mayo Clinic. Types of meditation. Meditation is an umbrella term for the many ways to a relaxed state of being. There are many types of meditation and relaxation techniques that have meditation components. All share the same goal of achieving inner peace. Ways to meditate can include guided meditation, sometimes called guided imagery or visualization. With this method of meditation, you form mental images of places or situations you find relaxing. You try to use as many senses as possible, such as smells, sights, sounds, and textures. you may be led through this process by a guide or teacher. Mantra meditation. In this type of meditation, you silently repeat a calming word, thought, or phrase to prevent distracting thoughts. Mindfulness meditation. This type of meditation is based on being mindful or having an increased awareness and acceptance of living in the present moment. In mindfulness meditation, you broaden your conscious awareness. You focus on what you experience during meditation, such as the flow of your breath. You can observe your thoughts and emotions, but let them pass without judgment. Qigong. This practice generally combines meditation, relaxation, physical movement, and breathing exercises to restore and maintain balance. Qigong is part of traditional Chinese medicine. Tai Chi. This is a form of gentle Chinese martial arts. In Tai Chi, you perform a self-paced series of postures or movements in a slow, graceful manner while practicing deep breathing. Transcendental meditation. Transcendental meditation is a simple, natural technique. In transcendental meditation, you silently repeat a personally assigned mantra, such as a word, sound, or phrase in a specific way. This form of meditation may allow your body to settle into a state of profound rest and relaxation, and your mind to achieve a state of inner peace without needing to use concentration or effort. Yoga. You perform a series of postures and controlled breathing exercises to promote a more flexible body and a calm mind. As you move through poses that require balance and concentration, you're encouraged to focus less on your busy day and more on the moment. Elements of meditation. Different types of meditation may include different features to help you meditate. These may vary depending on which guidance you follow or who's teaching a class. Some of the most common features in meditation include focused attention, relaxed breathing, a quiet setting, a comfortable position, an open attitude. Everyday ways to practice meditation. Breathe deeply, scan your body, repeat a mantra, walk and meditate, engage in prayer, read and reflect, focus your love and gratitude. And this is an excerpt from a piece on this website, and you can find it yourself if you want to read it for yourself. And it's mayoclinic.org/tests-procedures/meditation. So there you go. And now I'm going to share with you the meditation as promised, sitting relaxation with ocean surf. Stay tuned. For those of you who want to connect, you can do so by reaching me, Catherine Davis, at Catherine.1, Katherine.1. You can also find me at QigongOnline.net, QigongOnline.net. And I host Heart of Mind Radio for the New Millennium here over WBAI on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Please do join me for a program about spirituality, consciousness, and health. And you can visit me at heartofmindradio.com. Stay tuned for a deep relaxation.
Infinity Meditation. The infinity meditation can be done while sitting in a chair with your feet resting on the floor and your hands in your lap, or it can be done sitting cross-legged on the floor with your spine comfortably upright. It can also be done laying down, but also be sure that your spine is in alignment, your legs are comfortably spread beneath you, and your arms resting at your sides. Begin by focusing on your breath. Close your eyes and feel your breath flowing in and out of your body. Relax yourself, relaxing your head and your neck, your shoulders and your arms. Relax your back. Relax your chest and your abdomen. Relax your hips and your legs. Bring your focus into your heart and feel the energy of your heart. Bring your awareness deep into the field of your heart. With your inner sight, peer deep into your heart. Allow yourself to feel, to become aware of this feeling of your heart. I want you to guide this energy starting flowing from the heart in a loop through your body. Visualize it flowing like a stream down through the tip of your spine and then up into your heart. Then feel this energy flow up in a loop, flowing through the Bai Hui, your crown, and then down back into your heart. And continue with your intention to guide the flow of your heart's energy in the figure of an eight. Starting with the center, guide your energy to flow down in a loop, flowing through the tip of your spine and up back to the center of your heart. Guide your energy up, flowing in a loop, flowing through the Bai Hui, your crown, and then back again to the center of your heart. Continue for a few moments to watch this flow in the figure eight, which represents the symbol of infinity, flowing down through the tip of your spine, looping back to the heart, flowing up, passing through the Bai Hui, your crown, and then back into the center of your heart. Now I want you to add your breath to the movement of your energy as it flows in the infinity symbol, bringing your focus to the center of your heart. As you exhale, send your energy down in a loop through the tip of your spine, returning to your heart. The full loop occurs with the exhale. So exhale, sending the energy down, looping through the tip of your spine and up through the heart, with that full movement occurring as one exhaled breath. And so for a few moments, continue with the infinity symbol, but focusing on the exhaled breath accompanying the energy as it flows down and returns to your heart. Bringing your focus back to the center of your heart, I want you to inhale as you guide your energy up, flowing through your Bai Hui, the crown, and returning to the center of your heart. So continue with the infinity breath, but focus on the inhale, rising from your heart, flowing in a loop through the Bai Hui, your crown, and returning to the center of your heart. So continue with the full infinity, moving the chi, but focus on the inhale as you guide your chi up, looping through the Bai Hui, your crown, returning to your heart. Focus on that inhaled loop for a few moments. Now let's bring our focus to the full movement, returning your focus first to the center of your heart. And exhale, guiding the energy down in a loop, flowing through the tip of your spine, returning to the center of your heart, all as one exhaled breath. Inhale, guiding the flow of energy up, looping through the Bai Hui, your crown, and returning to the center of your heart, so that as you exhale, the loop is completed with the exhaled breath down and to the heart. And when you inhale, the loop is completed with the inhaled breath up through the Bai Hui, your crown, and looping back to the center of your heart. So focus on the full breath for a few moments, accompanied with the movement of energy. Exhale, down, loop to the center of your heart. Inhale, up, loop through the center of your heart. And continue for a few moments, focusing on the infinity breath as it flows through your body, emanating from the heart, encompassing the tip of your spine in the exhale down loop, encompassing the Bai Hui, your crown, in the inhale of the up loop. Continue this breath for a few moments. Now we're going to extend the dimensions of this breath. When you exhale, guide the energy from your heart, extend it deep into the center of the earth, allowing it to loop back through to the center of your heart. As you inhale, guide your energy up through to the center of the cosmos, and return, looping back to the center of your heart. Exhale into the center of the earth. Mingle with the energies of the earth. Draw that earth vibration up into your heart. Inhale, guide your energy up through to the center of the cosmos. Gather and mingle with the energies of cosmos and draw back into the center of your heart, all with one inhaled breath. And continue guiding your energy down through the center of the earth and back to your heart in one exhaled breath. Guide your energy up through the center of the cosmos and back to the center of your heart, all in one inhaled breath. And continue for a few moments with the full infinity breath, exhaling into the earth, uniting with the Mother Gaia, mingling with the elementals and the life force energy, bringing back to your heart in one exhaled breath, and guiding your energy up through the center of the cosmos, mingling with the Divine Father, the Divine Mother, drawing that energy back into your heart with one inhaled breath. As you exhale and send your energy in the down loop of the infinity symbol, mingle with Gaia, integrate the natural world, elemental world, back through into your heart. And as you inhale into the cosmic center, you mingle with the higher self, with the guardians, the angels, the masters, and draw that energy back to the center of your heart. Exhale down and mingle the natural world, the animal kingdoms, back into your heart. Inhale to the cosmos, draw the spirit world, and then mingle that back into your heart with the inhaled breath. Continue for a few moments more with the extended infinity breath. Gradually draw this loop closer to your body so that your exhaled breath eventually comes back to the tip of your spine and into your heart. And the inhaled breath gradually flows again through the Bai Hui, your crown, returning to the center of your heart. Slowly draw your focus with both breaths closer, closer, and closer to the center of your heart until the infinity breath is just flowing through the heart, exhaling deeper, inhaling higher, exhaling deeper, inhaling higher, and release the focus of movement and allow your awareness to seep deep into the field of your heart. Bring both hands to your heart and allow the radiance of your heart to flow into your palms. And then move your arms into a self-embrace, a hug, and allow this loving energy you've collected from all of creation, all of the divinity of creation, and just with your palms radiate through your body, allowing the love you've collected, the love of your own heart, to flow and radiate through your entire body. Continue to rest for a moment. If you are able at this moment, you can allow yourself to lay and fall asleep. Go into a restful state. If you want to continue with your day and flow into the movement of the day, begin by moving slowly, so that you can carry this energy with you. Rub your hands together, bringing warmth to your hands. And bathe your face 3 times, spreading the energy over the skin of your face. Rub your hands together again, and cup them over your eyes, sending the radiance deep into your body through your eyes. Open your eyes under the protection of your palms. Slowly move your hands away, and moving with a sense of quiet and peace, rise out of your chair or out of your meditative positions, and move on with your day, and feel this radiance flowing from your heart, flowing before you, trailing behind you, uplifting and nourishing all in your path.
What's it like growing up in a family where your parents are showbiz royalty? And what's it like growing up in two very different cultures? We'll find out Saturday morning on Earth Mom Radio when we speak with artist Alexander Newley, son of actress Joan Collins and the multi-talented singer-composer-actor Anthony Newley. That's Earth Mom Radio, Saturday morning, 6 a.m. See you there.
Little bird, little traveler, I don't understand what's happening today.
Well, not enough queued up and the button's not pressed, which means dead air. Well, We can't let it stay that way, can we? This is, however, an opportunity to tell you that you are tuned to listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM over WBAI.org, and, oh, stuff like that there. And in a moment, it'll be visible on Facebook Live. So stick with us, and we'll be back shortly. Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program of science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. With us this morning, after a film review from Dan Persons, will be Beth slash Claire, Bernabic Clash slash Odell. We'll try to sort it out. Stay tuned.
Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I'm going to be difficult here. I really loved The Suffering of Ninko, a new Japanese erotic fantasy that's now available on DVD as well as on demand. I mean, I really loved it. It's so far the best film I've seen this year. Granted, I've missed a number of high-profile releases, but I don't think any of them could really come up to this. But with that, I have concerns, probably overblown, but they do gnaw at me. But again, not enough that I didn't come out of the film with a sense of genuine elation. In telling the tale of Ninko, a young and incredibly handsome medieval Buddhist priest, played by Masato Tsujoka, who struggles to live a chaste and pious life, even as every woman, and a handful of men whose paths he crosses are overcome with an insatiable lust, frequently depicted by women ripping open their kimonos with wild abandon, director Norihiro Nawatsukeno, in his directorial debut, really no credits before this, not even shorts, turns his scenario into a lively, visually lush, multimedia festival, switching nimbly between live action and woodcut style animations, scoring Ninko's mad descent into a fantasy world of orgiastic passion with a flute rendition of Ravel's Bolero, and guiding the film progressively from ribald farce into a rumination on how we face our true natures. And it's that last issue that nibbles at the back of my brain. Near the beginning of the film, Ninko is lured into the forest by a faceless spirit whose flesh scalds the priest when she baits him into grabbing her breast. This prompts his descent into madness and his flight from the monastery. He eventually meets a ronin, Kanzo, a samurai without a master, played with great magnetism by Hideta Iwahashi, and eventually joins the warrior on a hunt for a succubus who's been decimating a small village of its men. In the process, Kanzo tells the priest about how he came to embrace his desire to kill, depicted in a brief but vivid sequence of a virtuous Kanzo surrounded by white paper walls scribed with smiling women that abruptly turn into blood-red images of carnage, and that in the end one can only find peace when one accepts his or her true nature. We are left with no doubt that the morally compromised Kanzo has a better insight on humanity than the desperately pious Ninko, something director Nawatsukeno confirms in the end as, not to get too spoilery about it, Ninko begins to embrace the sexuality he struggled to sublimate. But this turns out to be as much curse as liberation, and Ninko may be no less a destructive force than a man who revels in his power to kill. There's a thread of fatalism that runs through Japanese erotica. The immersion in sensuality frequently leads to doom, an artifact of a culture that treasures restraint above all else. The suffering of Ninko finds its way there, albeit in a way that's admittedly both wry and subtly poignant. I don't reject that this is the landing point the film takes us to. Nawatsukeno gets us there in a way that feels like a genuine culmination and is emotionally satisfying. There's a little part of me, though, that wishes this particular darkness wasn't there, that there wasn't the implication that embracing our nature is inevitable, but also damning. Once more, doesn't really diminish my admiration for this film. The suffering of Ninko is a witty, bracing, affecting fantasy, and as great a directorial debut as I've seen in a while. For Hour of the Wolf, I'm Dan Persons, hashtag ITMFA.
Very good. Thank you, Dan. I may check that out at some point. This is WBAI New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio at 99.5 FM at WBAI.org. And yes, as of this moment, I think working properly for the moment on Facebook Live. You won't see me. You will see our guest, who is Beth Brinabek and Claire O'Dell. And which she is not sure. That's sort of a moving target.
Well, it is, because up until this year, everything I'd published had been under the Beth Brinabek name, my real name. And because of my new book is so different from what I've done before, I went with a pen name.
Yeah.
And now it seems to be getting traction.
Very good. So, yeah, but you can keep both alive. It doesn't have to be either or.
This is true. I've switched over my website so that it does show both, but I haven't, like, totally abandoned Beth yet.
And what is your website?
It is Beth-Brinabek.com.
And we should spell Bernabic, so.
B-E-R-N-O-B-I-C-H.
Right. Okay. So, you know, there, and that does sort of set the personality for the website, unless you take out another Earl.
This is true, and I've been thinking about it, but I don't, it's in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Let me just make, I don't have a lot of announcements. The coolest announcement was for earlier this evening. So if you have your Wayback Machine set, you can go to the KGB bar and watch Jeffrey Ford and Michael Swanwick read. And if not, well, there's a recording, which in fact I will be getting from Gordon Linsner. I used to record all of those readings. They're always Wednesday nights. And when they moved my show to Wednesday night, sort of made it difficult for me to attend the KGB readings, which as a producer of, we're not competing, we're 2 weeks apart, we're once a fortnight, the New York Review of Science Fiction readings, which I produce. Next one will be, I'm forgetting the date. It will be the start of our 28th season, and it will be the first Tuesday in September, so that will be September 4th. And as I recall, there's like some big deal holiday the following week, because normally I would bump it a week when it's right after Labor Day. But no, there's like a worse holiday.
Yeah.
The following week. I think it's a Jewish holiday. I know I've got that problem in December where it sounds like the third day of Hanukkah would not be something to keep people at home. But with, in fact, the aforementioned Michael Swanwick, you know, we had a great lineup. We had Swanwick, and I don't remember who else. It was about 12 years ago. And you could have heard a cricket. The place was that empty. And, you know, it's not like our entire audience is made of Jews, but I guess everybody said, all right, it's a holiday. I don't have to go nowhere. And they didn't. So regardless of that, our readers will be Keith DeCandido and a fantasy writer new to me, Angus Watson. So that will be an enjoyable event. Then in October, a biggie, the 10th anniversary celebration of Beneath Ceaseless Skies, which is a very fine independent science fiction fantasy magazine. The title is simply, it's got to be adventure, usually, preferably, in another world. And that could be a fantasy world or a science fictional world, but it should be beneath a ceaseless sky. And the editor, Scott Andrews, will be hosting that, and that will have a wide cast of wonderful people. And the next month, a wide cast of wonderful people, which will be put together by Amy Goldschlager, and will be various writers from Serial Box,